Today, we'd like to study the title of a contrast in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 13 to 32. To align with the people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Why does it so? And how should we overcome it? Question 2, in verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Why does it so? And how should we do? Last question in verse 22. The blessing of the Lord make one rich, and he has no sorrow with it. What does it mean? First of all, we are thinking about morality. Morality can be defined as principles about the distinction between good and evil. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve took the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, independent from God's view of good and evil. So in Proverbs, Solomon the writer contrasts good and evil in God's morality, not human morality. Human morality principle always has been changed from time to time. One example, 18th century, alcohol drinking considered as evil. Illegality in the United States. But now, if you are adult, you may buy alcohol, drink, wherever. That considered not any longer evil. Also, another example, marijuana. In 2016, Colorado, if you have a prescription from doctor, you could buy marijuana in Colorado State and everywhere. They are considered not evil any longer. Likewise, human morality has been changed time to time. But God's morality not changed. God's word is not changed. God's word stands forever. So here, Solomon, the writer, is contrasting good and evil in divine morality. Verse 13, wisdom is found on the lips of him, contrasting understanding and void understanding. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding, who has no understanding. In the lips of the understanding man, understanding man gives wisdom, because from understanding to wisdom. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So Jesus Christ gave the word of the kingdom, but some people do not understand. That seed of word is like the sown planted on the wayside. So which means they don't understand the word of God. Dr. Dallas Willard, the author of Divine Contemplation. He is the professor of USC philosophy, also a pastor. Although we might not agree with all of them, he has a lot of wisdom on the book. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So, which meaning the fear, the holy fear of the Lord is the starting point of knowledge. Here, knowledge, which meaning knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. The fear, the holy fear of the Lord is the starting point of wisdom too. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So knowing God is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the starting point of knowledge. Then knowing God is understanding. Ultimately, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, is the starting point of wisdom. So we can say we have a certain knowledge, then we may understand that knowledge. Next step, the understood the knowledge may be applicable to a particular situation called as wisdom. So wisdom is understood knowledge applicable to a particular situation is called as wisdom. So a rod for the back of him who is devoid of understanding, the back of the void understanding is beaten. Verse 14, contrast wise man and the foolish man. Wise people store up knowledge because wisdom comes from knowledge. How to store up? Disciple Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So which meaning the scriptures, the word of God, the Bible, superior to any knowledges, you know, any human knowledge against the knowledge of God, we simply cast down. Then bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we should bring every thought subject to the obedience of Christ, subject to the word of God, the knowledge of God. That way we can store knowledge for wisdom. Then the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. So, or immediate destruction because of no knowledge. Verse 15, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The rich man fortifies himself by his wealth. The destruction of the poor is their poverty, because the poor man cannot afford to defend himself because of his poverty. Verse 16, the labor of the righteous leads to life. Here, the righteous or the just is the one who lives by faith. Is the way of life. The wages of the wicked to sin. The effect of the wicked is a sin. Verse 17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses reproof or correction goes astray. If you listen and follow instruction, you are in the way of life, but it's a mistake not to listen to correction. For example, God's chastening or God's reproof, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 to 10, we are adopted children of God. You know, that's why God, you know, sometimes chastens us. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, he adopted sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Rhetorical question. Obviously, the father chastened his son. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate son or bastard. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to God the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed the best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. So God wants to make us holy, so sometimes God gives us correction. So then we should follow God's correction, God's reproof. Otherwise, we might be abandoned or we might go astray. Verse 18 is not contrast. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Why? If you hide hatred, you end up lying. If you slander someone else, you are a fool, because you are a judge, not a doer. James chapter 4, verse 11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law given by God. But if you judge the law given by God, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. So basically, violation of God's word. That's why you are full. So how should we overcome it? Confess our hatred heart to the Lord. Ask him to change, to love the hated man, and pray for him. Because in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44, Jesus said, you ever heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, bless cursers, do good to those who hate you, do good to those haters, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for abusers and persecutors. That's why we should pray. We should ask the Lord to change our heart, to love the hated man, and pray for him. Verse 19, in the multitude of the words of sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. If you speak a lie, you may reveal a mistake or a sin. If you control your lips or mouth, you are wise. James chapter 3, verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word or does not mistake in word, he is a mature man or he is a perfect man, able also the bride of the whole body. If you control your word, your mouth, you consider control entire body. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Let every man be quickly to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, to get angry. So slow to speak. So how should we overcome?
Ask the Lord how to say or to keep silent during conversation. One example, Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the cupbearer over a Persian king. So during conversation, Nehemiah prayed to Lord. Right here. Then the king, Persian king, said to me, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, to Nehemiah, what do you request? So I, Nehemiah, prayed to the God of heaven. During conversation, he prayed to the Lord in silence. And I said to the king, then Nehemiah said to Persian king, if it pleases the king, if you are okay, said, if your servant, that is Nehemiah, has found a favor in your sight. So if you feel okay, please give me favor. I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Simply send me to Jerusalem in order to rebuild the temple. So that kind of thing. So this is a very good way. During communication, you may ask the Lord, how should I say? Or how I can keep silent, in that way. Then think, what if Jesus were I in this situation? Thinking, what if Jesus were I in this situation? In this kind of a thought, give us a perspective, certain way that Jesus would do. Obviously, it is not necessary all things that Jesus would do. Jesus is God, so obviously we cannot all things that Jesus would do. At least we can Jesus' perspective in particular this situation. Then verse 20, the tongue, T-O-N-G-U-E, thank you. The tongue of the righteous is a choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The words from the righteous man are valuable, like a choice silver or pure silver. The words from the heart of the wicked man are no value. Look for those who speak the truth from the scriptures. So if you need certain comment or counsel, you should pray to the Lord, which one has the truth from the word of God, the scriptures. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The words from righteous people make people mature. Fools die because of no wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. What does it mean? God's blessings make us rich without sorrow. God's exceeding glad, not necessary of material prosperity, make us rich without sorrow. So exceeding glad, that is exceeding happiness. If you have a sorrow, so obviously no happy, because you have a sorrow. For example, richness in Laguna Beach might go through sorrow unless the richness is used in the way God intended. 50% of Jesus' recorded words in the Bible about money or material. Why? It is a piece of evidence for heart. Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. But when you do a charitable deed to neighbor or to God, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, which meaning your charitable deed is doing to God, not to man. So do not consider in other people, anything else. Also, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is not, there your heart will not be also." Luke chapter 21, verse 3, so Jesus said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all." Poor widow, she made only two mites like two pennies, like a homeless person made two dimes at the rock fortress house. So that kind, Jesus looking for heart, not amount of money. Also, John chapter 6, verse 9, there is a lad or a little boy here who has five barley loaves, not wheat loaves, five barley breads, and two small fish, like anchovies, not like salmon, two small fish. Little boy gave five barley breads and two small fish through disciple to Jesus Christ. Then Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children, then left over 12 baskets of barley loaves. So Jesus worked through them. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2 and 3, that in great trial of affliction, but a lot of trouble for Philippi's church, Christians, the abundance of their joy, nevertheless, they have a lot of joy. That's a blessing. And their deep poverty, materially deep poverty, but abounded in the riches of their liberality. So freedom from all money or treasures. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, their material ability, they were freely willing to make an offering to the Lord. Exceeding glad, extreme happiness, that is the blessing of the Lord. We received the pamphlet, Bible verse calendar pamphlet in the last week. So the pamphlet saying, order $30 to be sold per pamphlet. You may sell that pamphlet $6 to a consumer in the church. So that kind of message, the pamphlet described the church members as consumers, not his share, shocking us. Jesus drove out those who bought and sold at commercial gain in the temple. That is Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these saying of mine and does them, Jesus turned the table in all of them who bought and sold in, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Jesus doesn't want commercial activity in the temple or in the church. So, Jesus drove out those who bought and sold at commercial gain in the temple. We gave a free calendar, coffee, donut, and snack because of our exceeding unutterable joy, like Peter, a poor widow who offered two mites
a little boy who offered five barley bread and two small fish. Let the Lord work with treasure or money, because we love him. Not we love treasure or money. One example, Chuck Smith, the pastor, worked to sustain his family at a grocery in the early time. In middle time, cut off his assigned salary. And in the last time, his life insurance beneficiary was assigned to a church. Manifesting his doing in his personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. A Christian was not able to buy a book because the price of $17 was his 1 month's salary to sustain his family from Uganda. Through prayers, all books are assigned to e-books as well as to Amazon lending library. Now anyone is available to get a book at $2 up to free. Although we have little gain, such as about 25 cents per book, the loyalty, but we have exceeding joy to spread his word for his disciples just like him. Then verse 23, to do evil. Here, verse 22 simply says, the blessing of the Lord, the blessing which meaning exceeding joy, extreme happiness, not necessary over material prosperity. That is, makes us rich without sorrow. Then verse 23, to do evil is like a sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. A fool enjoys doing evil like a sport or a game. A man of understanding, knowledge produces wisdom. Verse 24, the fear of the wicked will come upon him. The wicked man's fear comes true upon himself, eternal death. The desire of the righteous man, everlasting life, comes true. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14-15. In as much then as children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So Jesus Christ released us from the fear of our deaths. Then 25, when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. As the whirlwind goes through, the wicked is blown away. The righteous has everlasting or eternal life. Verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoker to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. To those who send the lazy man or sluggard to do a task, the lazy man or sluggard is just like or as vinegar hurting to the teeth and the smoke hurting to the eyes. That's why faithfulness is essential for God's ministers. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Let a man so count of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, not laziness. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. So the holy fear of the Lord lives longer, so has eternal life, the wicked ears, so subject to eternal death, even if they live longer on the earth. Verse 28, the hope of the righteousness will be gladness or joyfulness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish anyway into eternal death. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity or the workers of sin. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous or the just brings forth wisdom, but the perverse, forward tongue will be cut off. The perverse tongue, for example, John the Baptist made straight the way of the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. But contrary, perverse tongue, for example, the Satan. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, 4, 5. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil, establishing human morality right here. That is perverse, the word of God. Verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse or forward. Let's see each question answer in verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Why does it so? Because if you hide your hatred, you say something, so which means the hidden hatred would contribute to lying. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. Because you make a bad word over your brother, constitute to the violation of God's word. God said, do not make evil over your brother. If you do so, you become judge, not doer. How should we overcome it? So we confess our hatred man, we repent our hatred man to the Lord, then ask God to change my heart, to hate somebody rather than to love him or her, then pray for him or her. Question 2, in verse 19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Why does it so? Because human beings often make a mistake in speaking. That's why we should not speak a lot, but we should control our mouths. Then how should we do? So even during communication, we might pray to the Lord, how should I say, how should you do? Then you might reduce your mistake. Last question 3, in verse 22, the blessing of the Lord make one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. What does it mean? Here, the blessing meaning exceeding joy or exceeding happiness, not necessary over material prosperity. So exceeding joy make us rich without sorrow. So let's just sing song all together, the page 40, number 5.